do something a little different. This is unrehearsed. But we're going to ask all of our young people and our children to come and sing this morning. We want everyone all to come and sing. And that means these two young ladies back here. And so all that will come and sing. Miss Donna's going to lead us this morning. And Ray's going to help you. If you feel young at heart and you want to sing, come on. Brooke. No, okay. Oh, look at this crew. Here comes a couple more. Didn't know no better. I think the preacher was just wanting to sing him this morning. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, you want to turn with us to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 11. I want to read a couple verses out of Acts chapter 11, but I also want to read some out of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. Acts 11 and Hebrews 3 and 4. Will you find your place? If you would, stand with us and we'll read the word together. In honor of His Word. Acts chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him." Now, if you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, I want to start reading, about 15. "While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this time of being together. Now, Father, we ask you, I need your help today. I ask you for the anointing. I pray, Lord, for the power of God, and Lord, that you would just minister to us. You know what we're in need of today, and I pray, Father, that you would bless and touch in those areas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I heard a thing on the radio the other day, and the Lord had laid this message on my heart. I put the title of it, "It's not how far you go, it's what you bring back." And not how far you go, it's what you bring back. And want to thinking in the line in this past week that my brother and I, and we was down. It was the same day I heard that on the radio. We started going through my mama's stuff. And we had a bunch of stuff in the basement and a bunch of keepsakes. And we started, most of y'all have had to do that. It's the first time I've had to. And it tore me up pretty bad. But going through and looking through the stuff and got me to thinking. And you know that as we went through and looked, it's easy to understand and see some things that's important to her. It's easy. She had left something. She had come through and she had traveled and she had left something to that you see. You wouldn't have to look far to see what she thought of the Lord. You wouldn't have to look far to see what she thought of her family. And you see these, and I was looking and going through these little mementos that she had left, these little knickknacks and these little things and pictures and her Bibles and the different things that we'd see, that I seen, and looking through them. See, all these meant something to her. And she had a lot of things that for memory. In Deuteronomy 32:7, the Bible says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee." See, remember, he said, these are mementos, memorial things. And he said to remember, or to have these memorial things that to fathers. Remember, in the old times, in Proverbs 22:28 says, "Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set." See, we need to be not only looking back and remembering the mementos and the things of the past, but we need to be setting them up ourselves.
We've got to leave a trail for somebody's coming behind us. And thinking along these lines, and it's not where we go and how far we go. It's what we bring back. It's what we have and we bring back and that we possess in ourselves. And it's not only what we possess, but see, I'm so glad there's some folks left some things for the old preacher boy. That's kept me and some of the old landmarks and some of the Alfred Cutshaw and Henry Bailey and T.F. Lewis and some of these guys that had blazed a path and Kenneth Grindstaff and I came to a church beautifully built and prepared and ready to go. I thank God for some of these folks. Now don't tell Brother Kenneth I called him old or ancient. But I thank God for some of these folks. They left memorials. They left mementos. They left things along the line. They set landmarks, something for us to guide to, a standard. They'd set some standards, hadn't they? And this morning, this just the way the Lord had took me and thinking along these lines. See, what have we brought back? And what are we leaving behind? You know, most of us today in here has probably made the trip to Mount Calvary. We've been to the foot of the cross. What do we bring back? What are we possessing? And what are we leaving behind? See, if it's a sad thing to think is if all we think about spiritual matters is when we get to the church. Amen. Come in order right there. See, it's mementos that we're carrying back with us and that we're leaving. See, these little children, these young people stood up here, they need something. They need to see us and experiencing God in a mighty way. Something they can hang on to. It was good enough for Papa and Granny. It's good enough for me. See, in Acts 11, we see in the, I preached, last time I preached on Sunday morning, I think it was, I preached in 10 about Cornelius. And here, 11 is just kind of a repeat, the first part of it. But Paul had been to Cornelius. Cornelius, God had sent a vision, and Cornelius seen, and he said, "Go to Joppa, to the house of the tanner." And Paul asked for Peter. Peter went back and with him, and he had the house full. And as he started preaching the gospel, the Holy Ghost fell. They were saved and baptized. Now he's gone back to Jerusalem and they're arguing with him. Hello? God's done something great. God had brought the Gentiles into the family. And now, when he went back, all they could say, "You eat with them Gentiles." Amen? Amen? Glory, hallelujah. You can get a church on fire and somebody will say, "Whoo!" "We ain't never done it that way before." I heard a man just up at the National Association. I went to some seminars. He said he went in to pastor a church that had 12 people. When he left there 25 years later, he had 350, running 350. Had 500 came the last service that he was at. Over 1,000 in the community come through and shook hands at the reception they had for him when they left. And he's going into the ministry of church revitalization. But he said, what a blessing they had, a tremendous service. He said the newest part of the church that they was in was 150 years old. They was purchasing some property and going to build another location. He said it was a phenomenal service. And when they brought it up, somebody stood up in the back and said, "Don't worry about the money. Me and my husband's paying for it." and it was just a service. And he said, somebody stood up and said, well, what are we going to do about the name? It can't be called that if we move it over there. He said, I felt like choking them. And that's kind of the way this was. The Gentiles had just got accepted in, and all they could say is, you eat with them dogs. But I want to look, see, Peter brought some things back from Joppa when he came back. And I want to share a few things that he brought when he came back. And I believe that we can use it in our lives. I think that it can be an encouragement to us this morning as we think about these things that he brought back. And the first thing that I see is in verse 16 of chapter 11. And the Bible said, then remembered I the word of the Lord. Then there's that word remembered again. The momentous, a very important thing that I remembered. And he said that how John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. See, here's a demonstration. He brought back a demonstration of help. See, things was changing. He brought back a demonstration that things were, they was going to be some new things. There was a new sheriff in town. It wasn't going to be religion like it always had been. He said, the helper's coming. I'm sending the Holy Ghost that's coming back, that's going to empower you, and it's going to help you up. And that he remembered when he heard these things that Jesus had told him before they went away. He said, the comforter's coming. The helper's coming. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. The Bible also said that the Lord is our helper. He said he's come back with demonstration of the help. We've got help on the way. He said not only now are we in the house of the Lord, not only are we on our way to heaven, but the Gentiles are on the way. See, he was talking about God's power saving the Gentiles. In Acts 1:5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That was one of the last things Jesus said to them as they went away. He said, I'm sending you some help. I'm sending you the comforter. He'll remind you of all the things that you ever seen me do. He'll remind you of all the things you heard me say. He's going to bring it back to remembrance, and he's going to help you through it. Glory, hallelujah. Boy, what a help. Ain't you glad for that help this morning? See, Peter came back, demonstrated the help that had come. See, it's mine and your job this morning and this next week and the weeks to come to demonstrate that there's help, to demonstrate that God's our helper and our guide, that he'll help us do whatever comes. See, we're going to be some people this week that we'll come in contact with that's going to need some help. They're going to need some encouragement. They're going to need somebody to say, you know, I used to be like that, but God did a work in my life. In Luke, see in verse 8, Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Aren't you glad of that power this morning? I don't mean just power to have an exciting service. I like that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about power to make it through the Mondays that we have. The power to make it through those bad doctor's reports. The power to make it through a family crisis. The power to make it through when everything looks bleak. Aren't you glad of the power of God? Amen. See, he said that I'm going to endue you with power. And Luke 24:49 says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. but tarry ye into Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power from on high. See, he said, he told them, and that what they got was power to speak with new tongues. On the day of Pentecost, everybody heard the gospel in their own language. I'll tell you what I'm so glad of this morning, and I'm glad that God changes our tongue, ain't you? I'm glad I don't talk like I used to. I'm glad I don't say words I used to say. I'm glad that he changed my vocabulary. I'm glad that he changed my tongue and made me different than I was.
Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
Also, not only their tongues, but he gave them the power to preach with great effect. There was thousands being saved. 3,000 one time, 5,000 one time, multitudes, people adding to the church daily. He gave them the power to preach the gospel through the power of the Holy Ghost, and conviction fell, and with great effect the church was added into daily. Guess what? We've been given the same gifts. We can boldly come. We can boldly stand up and say, gee, this is what Jesus has done for me. And then he also gave them the power to endure trials. See, this church went through a rough time. How many of us would be here this morning if we had to worry about being arrested? Had been worried about, they done killed some. Will we be next if we go to Marbleton this morning? If I go in there toting my Bible, I'm liable to be hauled off and beaten and strung up before the night falls. This was the circumstances that the early church was under. Was under persecution. They'd already killed their leader. They was trying to extinguish this. You ever tried to put out a gas fire? The harder you beat, the more it spreads. Amen. That's what had happened. They got something caught on fire they couldn't know what to do with. It's like my brother when he was a little boy. He had grabbed up a kitten one day and he said, "Papa, help me turn this thing loose." That's kind of what happened. They'd got a hold of something that they couldn't turn loose. See, we ought to demonstrate in our lives the new things that's going on. The new things that God's done in our lives. What's God done for you lately? I understand you got to hear last week the preacher from Brother Reese, and I was in his office one day and he said, "I want to talk to you a minute." I said, "All right." He said, "What's God done been doing in your life?" I had to tell him. I said, "Well, I think he's called me to preach." He said, "I already knowed he had." See, what's God done in your life? What's he doing? Where are you at with him? You know, it's up to us. The gospel's been brought to us. Thank God. We got to take it home. We got to send it ahead. We've got to equip the little ones. We've got to leave a standard. We've got to set some landmarks. We got to do something. I tell you what, when I heard of a church and it caught on fire, and the preacher was there at the church, and all of the people, the whole neighborhood come rushing in there. It's late one night to the fire, and that preacher said, "I've been here for years, and a lot of you folks ain't never seen." The guy said, "Church ain't never been on fire before, preacher." Amen. I'm telling you, when the church catches on fire, they'll come and see what's happening. When we get fired up, we get zeal, we get excited about what the Lord's doing in our lives and how that he's moving in our lives, and they can see what's going on, they're going to come just to see what's happening. This life will get a little dose. The second thing that I've seen he brought back with him was a demonstration of hope. In verse 17, he said, "For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us." See, this was some hope for some folks. There was some Gentiles around there, I'm sure. And when the word got to getting scattered around, now God's accepting the Gentiles. Now God's taking the Gentiles in. The Holy Ghost fell over there. And now that we can be part of the same thing the Jews has been, we're now God's chosen people. We're now engrafted in with the same one. We're now part of their family. Glory, hallelujah. Now when the apostles went out to preach the gospel, they could say, guess what? It's not to the Jews only. It's to the Gentiles. I've got you some hope today, folks, that you can be saved. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? If it wasn't for the gospel being accepted by the Gentiles, we wouldn't be in it today. In Luke chapter 2, this will be Christmas in July. Luke chapter 2, verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and glory of thy people Israel. When Simeon saw Jesus, he said, now, I can go ahead and die. I've seen salvation of Israel. But he also said, but he's a light unto the Gentiles. Not only Israel did he come to save, he came to save the Gentiles. He came to bring the goodness. And now these guys could preach glad tidings of great joy unto the Gentiles. See, Moses and the prophets was the light unto the Jews. They brought the hope of salvation to the Jews. But Jesus and the apostles was bringing hope to the Gentiles. This light that is talked about was the revelation. See, the prophets and Moses revealed God to Israel. Jesus and the apostles revealed them to the Gentiles. What does Matthew 5:16 say? I'm going to put Rhonda on the spot. I'm going to let her quote it. Just kidding. Therefore, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. That light that the children had, their little lights are burning. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. See, what that little light is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. We are revealing Jesus to the world when we let our light shine. It's the same light that the Moses and the prophets shine. It's the same light that Jesus and the apostles shine. Now it's our turn to let it shine. And let it shine all over where you're going to be tomorrow. Let it shine all over Marlton. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Glory, hallelujah. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ that we are living epistles. We are jars of clay that has got this ministry. And folks, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to the world. Amen. See, what we need more than a profession. Most people's got a profession this morning. In the world, you go talk about everybody, I'll tell you, they've got a profession. See, we don't need a profession, we need a possession. We need the possession of the Holy Ghost in our lives. We're full of good works. We're full of the glory of God for what He's doing in our lives. We need a possession instead of profession. And we also need to leave a trail. Can somebody track you to heaven? If we turned loose the gospel hounds on our trail, could they follow us to heaven? Or would they get sidetracked? Now you just quit talking to me. Could somebody follow you to heaven? Wednesday night, Sister Penny, and I'm not picking on her, talked about helping someone out and give her Bible. You know what she was glad of? She'd been writing down notes in her Bible, and it'd tell you how to get to heaven. See, we're supposed to leave a trail. Is what we're leaving behind a help or a hindrance? Are we making the walkway smooth, or are we heaping up stones that they have to get over to get to Jesus? If we're not careful, we'll make it a rougher road than it already is to get to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, we need to make it as easy as possible for folks to get to heaven. Those folks that we pray for, those lost loved ones, those lost co-workers, those lost neighbors, what are we doing? Are we making the road easier or harder for them? I preached a message in a revival just recently, and I'm been on my heart, and I'm going to preach that message here. But I preached on the little ships. And one thing, it was when Jesus and the disciples was crossing the Sea of Galilee, and one of those times when the storms come up. But the Bible said, and there was also little ships with them. They were close to the big boat that had Jesus in it. See, if we're not careful, when we go to bailing water out of our boat, we'll just be dumping right in those little ones if we ain't careful. If we're not real careful, we'll be heaping water into those little ships. That's a different message, a different time, but that didn't cost you nothing extra. The third thing that I seen was he brought back a demonstration of humility. In verse 17, he said, for as much as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? He said, what was I? Or who in the world am I to stand in God's way? Here they was ridiculing him because he had went and led the Gentiles, a whole house full of folks. Cornelius had went and gathered all of his friends and family and said, there's a man coming back going to teach us how to be saved. And he had the house full, the house they got saved, baptized, the Holy Ghost fell. Wow, you talking about a time. When he went back, they jumped on him with both feet. And he said, I could just see him. I bet he looked beat down. And he said, well, this is what happened. But who am I to stand in God's way? If God wants to save them dogs, I'm not going to stand in the way. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, with us today, who are we that we're standing God's way if God's doing something in somebody's life? John said, he must increase, I must decrease. I got to get out of the way. I preach so often, I pray before I preach, Lord, hide me up there behind the cross. They don't see nothing to me, that they see all about you in the cross. This got acquainted this week with a preacher. I'd heard of him for years. And he's got a church called the Cowboy Church. They're sitting on bales of hay, part of them are. If you go down in the fellowship hall, up in the fellowship hall and down the basement, you're going to notice there's a bunch of pews gone. We've been dragging these pews in and out. I won't mention no names, but somebody told me this recently. This is the last time I'm messing with them. was a burden to us. But they's a blessing to the Cowboy Church. They've had 48 saved in the last year. Baptizing them left and right. Started with 20, they're up to 70, they've had as high as 96. They got a few chairs set up in the middle, and they had bales of hay around. When they first started out, it was all bales of hay. You're talking about a blessed pastor when he left out of here with those pews. You're talking about a blessing. We're involved in their work now. See, there was nobody ministering to those cowboys. But he is. Him and another man. And they're winning them. And guess what? They're young folks. That what he said, J.M.? Most of them's young people coming to know the Lord. Because somebody saw a need. See, who is it that's nobody's ministering to? Who do we need to go get? Amen. Who do we need to change out of the way we do ministry to save somebody? Amen. Amen. I believe it was the CEO of McDonald's said that his idea of insanity was doing the same thing and trying to get the same result, the different results. We may have to change some things up a little bit. And I'm not saying conform to the world, but I'm saying methods are many and principles are few. Methods may change, but principles never do. We're still going to preach the Word of God. We're still going to be founded in Jesus Christ and Him only. But we may have to do things just a little bit different because, folks, it don't matter how we feel. These people out there are going to hell. Second Peter 3:9. The Bible said the Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If God's willing to save them all, shouldn't we be willing? Who are we to stand in the way? Let me ask you, if we don't do it, who will? What's your calling? We've all got a calling. What's your calling? And I'll tell you, our calling's not to come to church. That's a privilege. Our calling is to carry the gospel. Then the fourth one I see, demonstration of no hope in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. These folks that he was talking about there in Hebrews 3 and 4, was Israelites that got brought out of Egypt. They'd been brought out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea. They seen the Red Seas parted and they crossed on dry ground. They had drunk water from the rock. They had eaten manna from above. They had seen God move in miraculous ways and had seen so many things happen. God's power manifest in so many ways. Moses preaching the whole time, we're going to a promised land. There's a land here on earth, but heaven's far greater than anything we'll see on earth. And they heard the preaching for 40 years. They heard all these things. They've seen all these miracles. And they missed the boat because they didn't have the faith. Amen. I remember years ago, us studying this in Sunday school. And I remember a lady saying, I never did think of the children of Israel not making it to heaven. I just was always in my mind that they didn't make it to the promised land. They missed the whole enchilada. They was that close. They was God's chosen people. And he said there in Hebrews that they did not find rest. Folks, there's a rest for us. But the folks that have no hope, they don't have the faith in God's word, the faith in the preached word, the faith in what Jesus is doing and can do. See, there's folks that sits in our pews. There's folks that's our neighbors. There's folks that's come in and out. There's folks around us every day that they're experiencing God. They're close. They're seeing what God's moving. They're seeing what's happening. But the faith is not kicked in. Amen. See, these folks demonstrated of no hope. There's people we're going to see tomorrow that, without Jesus, they have no hope. See, we can witness a lot of things. But Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I don't know where we all are spiritually this morning, but it would be a shame to sit in these pews week after week after week and miss it. Boy, I tell you what, it would be sad, wouldn't it? Open up and stand before God and he'd say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. You say, well, I went to church. Yeah, that preacher gave an altar call and you didn't go either. Your neighbor witnessed to you every day. Your co-workers witnessed to you. I've heard of people, see, it's until the Holy Spirit enlightens your heart and says you're lost. I heard just recently of a woman that had been in church for years and years and years and years and years. The guy told me yesterday, and she just got up in the service, and it was about the end of the service, and she stood up and she said, the Holy Spirit just told me I'm lost. Had been there for years. It's my prayer that the unsaved can't sit in these services. There's been several come through and not come back. That's between them and God. All I'm responsible for is what they get while they're here. Amen. 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 See, folks, these people are going to hell. And what are we doing about it? These some folks that don't have no hope. And you may be here today and you've never asked Jesus into your heart. This would be a great, great time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and thank you.